The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
All right, I want to say a few things, and they might be controversial, but I'm going to say them because we all are thinking them. White people are a race of devils. And Hitler was a very good man. And Judaism is a gutter religion. Okay, all right. None of us believe any of that stuff. I shouldn't say none of us. I'm sure there are people. I know one in particular, and that is Louis Farrakhan. Most people right off the bat would say, well, that was David Duke, right? He probably has very similar things to say, except not about white people, just about black people. You know, Hitler was fine, Jews, gutter religion. But this is the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. And apparently, we just can't say anything bad about Louis Farrakhan. He is absolutely one of, if not the leading racist in America. If any politician or public figure were caught schmoozing with Farrakhan, it would be a very big deal. Barack Obama had been accused of such, not by the right, but by the left. In fact, it was Hillary Clinton. She called him out over the debate, and she talked to him about it because there was a rumor that he had been schmoozing, had known, and there was photographic evidence of it. She said that Farrakhan's support for Obama needed to be addressed and denounced. So what did Obama do? He denied any contact. He said he doesn't know him. He's never met him. He can't help who supports him. Now, I just want to put this into context, because isn't that exactly what Donald Trump said about failing to denounce David Duke's support? That was the exact excuse. Did the media accept that? Well, yesterday, TalkingPointsMemo.com published a story that featured an interesting photo. It's a photo. Oh, look at that. Huh. That appears to be the million-dollar smile of Barack Obama standing next to Louis Farrakhan and leaning in towards him. Now, there is no way that Obama didn't know who he was taking a picture with. This is not a Farrakhan, slide in and the mother of all photo bombs. He knew exactly who he was, what he was doing. He was palling around with one of the most racist men in America, and it didn't bother him. I don't know if you can check body language at all or if we're allowed to with Democrats, but he's leaning into him. So the question is, why haven't we ever seen this photo? Now, some people are saying this would have torpedoed Barack Obama's election, his first run for president, but I don't believe it would have. I don't think nothing would have mattered to the Obama supporters. Nothing. I think there's a pattern here. Nothing would have bothered people. But the reason why you've never seen it is because the media didn't want it to get out. I say this title against my will almost. The quote photojournalist hid the picture because it would quote be damaging politically if it were released. The photo journalist. Obama and Farrakhan's contacts, one of the worst kept secrets in Washington. Despite the rumors, nobody looked for evidence. Nobody looked for photos. And if you dare say anything about the relationship or that there is evidence out there, no one will produce it. You were the racist, not Louis Farrakhan. If the situation would have been reversed, if there was a picture with a white nationalist and John McCain, Mitt Romney, or Donald Trump, This would have been blasted in every newspaper and every cable news network, not just in America, but all over the world. I can't find this mention in any major news outlet this morning. I Huffington Post, Washington Post, New York Times. I mean, are they? Is this news that a photojournalist hid one of the most damning photos of any president taken? Can you imagine a picture of Harry Truman with the leader of the Klan? That's kind of an important picture politically, but an even more important picture historically. Not only because it exists, but because the media hid it. Maybe they don't want to cover it because it's a glaring reminder that they are both incompetent, they don't care, and I'm being kind with those descriptions. Every day we're reminded, with more evidence, of just how far the media has fallen from doing their job. Incompetence or blatant partisanship? It's a rhetorical question. But something has got to change.
It's Friday, January 26th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I millions of dollars in media have been spent to discredit me, mainly because of one question. And it's a question that I was told, just out of respect for the office, you don't ask. How dare you even utter those words? If you look at what's going on right now, where everybody is saying Donald Trump is a racist, why are they saying that? They don't have proof. All they have are his words. That's it. You don't have him. You don't have a picture of him next to Louis Farrakhan. You don't have a picture of him next to David Duke. You have racists supporting him. Well, you had that in the last president. You have Donald Trump saying what many people believe are racist things. Well, you had that in the last president. But what you don't have with Donald Trump, and you did have with Barack Obama, is the fact that he sat in Jeremiah Wright's church for 20 years. One, again, of one of the most racist people in America today. And now you know that the media covered up for this meeting where Barack Obama denied it. I mean, today we're talking about the president denied that he wanted to fire Mueller. Yeah, he did. Okay, so what have we learned? The White House isn't the most transparent, not the most honest. Got it. We got it. Are you willing to say those same things about Barack Obama? See, here to me, this is the real problem. The real problem in America is that neither side will admit when they're being hypocritical. Come on. Left, right, hypocrites. You say this is a problem, but when your guy does it, it's not a problem. When your team can use that to score a point, you're fine. The president didn't tell the truth about what was going on in the White House. Oh my. Well, I haven't seen that with Barack Obama. Oh my. I didn't see that with Fast and Furious. Donald Trump said he wanted to fire Mueller. Well, he didn't. Did he? He wanted to. He pushed until his own people said, we'll quit if you do it. So he didn't do it. Now, surprise, surprise, beep, 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 beep. New information. Donald Trump isn't honest on everything.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding me.
Now let me compare. Fast and furious. We have a attorney general who said before he got into office, look, we're going to need to do some things to convince people that guns are bad. So we'll just do some things. I mean, if we just do some things, it'll just really show that we can take these guns away. Okay. Bad. Nobody pays attention to it. That's just what he said. And now he's in power. He's going to be completely different. Oh, okay. Fast and furious. Taking guns and putting them into the hands of bad guys. And then those guns are used by terrorists in France. And you guys don't care?
Well, they said that they didn't do that.
Well, it's a serial. We know it is called Fast and Furious.
Well, it's not a problem.
You're a racist for even asking those questions. Barack Obama. That's just the way white people will do you. Barack Obama. Well, the police acted stupidly. They saw a black man, and this is the way they do it. Barack Obama, you know, this distrust for African Americans and this fear of black people was just bred into her, Jimmy the Greek. Bred into her. His relationship with Jeremiah Wright for 20 years. Even Oprah said, you got to get out of here. And he didn't take the advice. For 20 years, can you imagine if Donald Trump had gone to an actual alt-right Richard Spencer meeting and everybody around him, Steve Bannon, which would never happen, Steve Bannon would say, you got to get out of here, man. And he stayed for 20 years. Would we dismiss that? No. But he didn't do that. But Barack Obama did. And when the media continued to pile on and said, there's no relationship, there's no evidence that they've even met before. Meanwhile, they are hiding the photographic evidence that that is a lie. And what do? They destroy people for even saying, I think this guy might be a racist. I think this guy, I mean, I don't think he hates people. He has a problem with white culture. What is white culture? You racist, just by saying white culture, that is evidence of racism. You're right. All cultures are alike. Oh my gosh. Are you? You're appropriating somebody else's culture. You're saying that ours is just the same, that there's no difference? Well, I thought that's what you wanted me to say. So I'm going to use the African talking stick to be... That's appropriation! Just in case the media... And I'd love anybody in the media to point this one out, but they won't. I would love the media just to reflect now that we have the photographic evidence that is really important historically, that we have the photographic evidence of Barack Obama and Louis Farrakhan, the president of the United States, I don't care who it is, standing next to the biggest racist in America. And we have the evidence that it came from a photojournalist who hid it and the media knew about it. And when people like me questioned whether there is something more going on with his relationship with racists, oh my gosh, you pummeled. But Just change the D to an R, and you can ask the same exact thing. All right, I want to tell you about CarShield. CarShield is, I mean, if you have a car and you don't have a warranty on it because you're driving it like I drive it, you're going to drive it and it's still good and there's nothing wrong with it, and I'm going to drive it until the doors fall off. I have a couple trucks. I love my trucks, but they're getting to the age of where things start to go wrong. And it's not like cars were when I was a kid. You could just open it up. I couldn't, but somebody could just open it up and repair it, and it's easy. Now a sensor goes wrong, and it's $1,000. That's why I have my trucks covered by CarShield. They're out of warranty, except now I have them in warranty with CarShield, because a new fuel pump will cost you $500. Replacing water pump is $1,000. If you need repair to a control arm or a converter, stuff that I don't even know what the hell it even is, but it breaks, thousands of dollars to fix. They have plans to cover your car's computer, GPS, electronics. CarShield, the ultimate in extended coverage, and they get it done with your favorite mechanic or the dealership, and you don't mind because they pay them directly. You're not writing the check and then waiting for CarShield to pay you. They pay the mechanic. Sign up today and you're getting a 24/7 roadside assistance rental car with while yours is in the shop, and you can save yourself from the high repair bills. So get CarShield now. 1-800-CAR-6100, 1-800-CAR-6100. If you mention the promo code Beck, or if you go to carshield.com and use the promo code Beck, you're going to save 10%. So make sure you use the promo code Beck. carshield.com. Deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck Mercury. Glenn Beck.
It would be incredible and honest if the press ever decided to tell the truth about their hypocrisy, especially if we could just do a little flashback.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. This guy is, I believe, a racist.
Glenn Beck in the news.
How is it possible that this guy can sit on national television and call the president of the United States a racist?
This president sees everything through a racial prism and may even have his own racist beliefs.
I wish we would just stop this. Glenn Beck and people like that need to stop this.
The notion that Donald Trump reinforces his animus, his racially driven animus, his racism, that he demonstrates it over and over again from the Oval Office.
You know, throwing out the R word, the racist word, and some other words are conversation stoppers. We're never going to get past the point where the Glenn Becks of the world will just hurl that out at people.
What more do we need to see or hear from this racist man? Not only is he racist, he is an embarrassment.
These are the birthers.
Yes.
This is the narrative.
They want
the man to fail,
yes.
And now they're labeling, he's a racist.
But it doesn't make what he said any less ignorant or any less racist. Not racial, not racially charged, racist.
As long as Glenn Beck is out there calling the president a racist or anyone else a racist, we're never going to get past this point of constantly reacting to racial flare-ups.
Do you think President Trump is a racist?
I think he is a racist.
I see it with both Glenn Beck and with Rush Limbaugh. These guys with really suspect racial feelings and perceptions are projecting their own hate and their own divisiveness.
And it's the same sentiment, Chris, and it's something that virtually everyone recognized right away. It is racism.
It's such a blunt object of racism. When you say racism, it's a big charge.
Oh, it's a huge. I find it awful. I think you have to be very careful.
And then
with
secondly,
it.
There's the racial angle. I don't think there's any getting away from the color of people from Norway as opposed to people coming from Haiti, Africa.
I think a lot of that is simple grandstanding, making outrageous statements, provocateur.
Refuse to show any moral courage when it comes to standing up to the racist comments made by the president of the United States.
I can't even believe it, first of all. Glenn Beck owes the president an apology. He owes the American people an apology.
We take this additional, very clear racist thing. He's an evil man.
This is an insult to our democracy, our way of life.
We have to start calling things what they are. We have to stop asking if
this person is a racist because the evidence is there. He is.
I hate giving someone who says something like that any more attention. Outrageous is one way of putting it. I would say irresponsible.
If you put Haiti next to Norway, as Donnie said, is a black and white issue, the way the president laid it out yesterday.
If someone on the left had called George Bush a racist on TV, would we be throwing our hands up? Would we be so outraged?
Yes.
Would we demand an apology?
Yes.
We would?
I would.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would. Sure.
Yes.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, I know there's a lot going on. Bill O'Reilly is going to come up in just a second. We're going to talk a little bit about the president and his, you know, his trouble with the New York Times now. The New York Times is saying that he wanted to fire Mueller back in the summer, and he has, and the White House has repeatedly said that's not true. Now the New York Times says they have evidence. Fox News confirmed it last night. I mean, this is, first of all, he didn't fire him. The problem is that Donald Trump and the White House have a problem with telling the truth. It's not criminal. It's also not really anything new. So what do we have here? Nothing. And why the president just doesn't come out today and just say, yeah. So I talked about it and I wanted to fire him. But I listened to my counsel and they said, don't, Mr. President. I mean, why? Why wouldn't you just say that?
I don't know. I mean, and obviously you can question whether the report is accurate, though, you know, I know Fox News has confirmed it as well.
Since Hannity first denied it yesterday and then last night when Fox News confirmed it. I mean, I'm not taking the New York Times for their word either. And then Fox News can, you know, confirms it. And he's like, OK, so, yeah, we've confirmed it. Yeah,
but I think, you know, is it a big deal? I mean, we knew that there was this talk about him considering it at the time and and he didn't do it. Right. So he's not covering up something that he didn't do. The only thing here is that you just wish he would be more honest and just come out and
just
say it at the time.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, it would be great if both sides were more honest, honestly.
Yes.
Whether the media and the president were more honest. It's just I don't think we're going to get our wishes on this.
No,
one.
We're not going to get our. No. You know what? We're not going to get our wishes until the media really, truly understands I just don't think they get that there's a difference here. I mean, that there's no difference here. I think they think, no, Donald Trump is a horrible human being. Well, there's a lot of people in America that thought a man who would sit in the church of Jeremiah Wright was a horrible human being, was somebody who really had deep-seated problems with...
interesting phrasing there.
I know. Mm. But wouldn't you say, if Donald Trump had sat in a room and listened an hour a week for 20 years to David Duke, wouldn't we all say the guy's got some deep-seated issues with black people and Jews?
And that would be fair.
It would be totally fair. So they don't see the difference in anything that they're doing. And, you know, for somebody to sit with Jeremiah Wright for 20 years, and then the reason why we have this photo and the reason why we know the photo was hidden by journalists is because of the journalist. The journalist that took the photo and hid the photo. We know what his motivations because he admitted to them.
Yeah. The photographer Askam Mohammed said he gave up the picture at the time and basically swore secrecy. These are his quotes. But after the nomination was secured and all the way up until the inauguration, then for 8 years after he was president, it was kept undercover. Again, a quote from the journalist. He said a staff member from the Congressional Black Caucus contacted him in sort of a panic after he took the photo at a caucus meeting in 2005.
Okay, so hang on. This is worse than just the photo. Louis Farrakhan was at the Congressional Black Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So all those people in the caucus knew that Louis Farrakhan was there, that Barack Obama was there, that they had met. First of all, why would the Congressional Black Caucus be meeting with Louis Farrakhan?
In 2005, too. This is not like, you know, there were times where maybe he wasn't thought to be as controversial a figure. This is way after you knew who this guy was.
You know who this is. Imagine the GOP having any meetings, let alone in Washington with senators, having any meetings. And say, you know what, let's bring David Duke in. I like to hear his point of view. Can you imagine? But the media doesn't see a difference there. And that's the fundamental rub.
And I think the easy thing to do here is to look at the media and say, look, here's a journalist who hid this from the American people and beat up on the media. And I think that's a fair angle.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we should talk about the fact that the Congressional Black Caucus are our representatives. They were involved in this as well. In fact, to the point, because you might say, well, why did this journalist listen? Because he was afraid. His quotes, I sort of understood what was going on. I promised and made arrangements to give the picture to Leonard Farrakhan. Muhammad said he gave away the disc, but he kept the file on his computer. Realizing that I had given it up, it was sort of like a promise to keep the photograph secret. Muhammad then said he did not release his copy of the photograph because, quote, I was really, I guess, afraid of them. Muhammad said he thought the photograph would be damaging politically if it were released, and was afraid that someone might break into his apartment looking for it like that Watergate crap, end quote.
Well, the Watergate crap was a political move. He was afraid, a journalist in fear. Does any of the journalists, do they care? And it's not Louis Farrakhan. In case you don't know who he is, here's a quick little recap.
And I watched the evil of the United States government at work. But of course, they will tell you they're different from their fathers.
It's the same devil.
You may not want to fight. You better get ready.
Teach your baby
how to throw the bottle if they can.
Why should anybody who criticizes Jewish behavior that ill affects black people and their pursuit of happiness be considered anti-Semitic?
Hitler was a very great man. He rose Germany Hitler. Up from the ashes of her defeat.
Don't you be Hitler. Fooled by a smile and a pat on the back and a white woman in your arms, brother.
Even if you mean good, I don't give a damn. You go with your own people.
It's a deep guilt thing that white folks suffer. You are afraid that if we ever come to power, we will do to you and your fathers what you and your people have done to us.
We'll tear this goddamn country up.
Hey, I am not playing this so you're afraid of Louis Farrakhan. I'm not playing this so you fear black people or anything else. I'm playing this for the media. The media. You don't have a problem with a journalist who says he's afraid of a Watergate where somebody's breaking into his house. You don't have a problem with a Congressional Black Caucus meeting with that guy. Just ask yourself this honest question. If it was David Duke, would you have a problem? The answer, of course, is yes. We all would. I would. I'd be speaking out about, I've been speaking out against the alt-right before you even knew what the alt-right was. I was speaking out about the poison that is coming out from Russia on racist policies that is infiltrating our own country, and that is called the alt-right. I was doing that for 2 years before I had even heard the term alt-right. I can recognize the poison. And I can call it out on my own side. Can you? Can you? And do you understand at all why people aren't listening to you? Do you understand at all why Donald Trump can get away with this? Because your side has gotten away with it so long that the people who said, no, you know what? I believe in these principles. I believe in these principles. I believe in these principles. They got to a point where those principles didn't mean squat to anyone. And so they were like, you know what? I can stand here with my principles and have my family, my job, my country, completely transformed, or I can say, you know, fight fire with fire. And that's what's happened. And if you want to change things, you better start pumping out water, not fire. And the first water, well, is the water of repentance, if I may say, brothers and sisters. Water of forgiveness. Just stand up, somebody on the left, and say, you know what? I get it. I see it. I see it. I may not even agree with it, but I see it. I see what the center of the country is saying. I get it.
Amen. You're in Bible country now.
Well, no, I'm not Bible. I'm just not in the Bible, but it is Bible, Bible country. It's the Bible county, okay. As Louis Farrakhan, not Louis Farrakhan,
that was
but
Jeremiah Wright.
Jeremiah Wright said.
By the way, Glenn, the clips that we played, a montage of some of the classic hits of Louis Farrakhan, that was happening in 2008 when Barack Obama was running for president.
Yeah,
people
by the
were
way,
putting together similar montages.
Right, and it was not the right that was doing it. It was the Clinton campaign.
Mm-hmm. So let's start there because we have a clip. This is of the Democratic primary debates between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
There's a difference between denouncing and rejecting. And I think when it comes to this sort of, you know, inflammatory, I have no doubt that everything that Barack just said is absolutely sincere. But I just think we've got to be even stronger. We cannot let anyone in any way say these things because of the implications that they have, which can be so far-reaching.
Tim, I have to say, I don't see a difference between denouncing and rejecting. There's no formal offer.
Stop. If you remember right, he wouldn't denounce Jeremiah Wright at first. He wouldn't.
No.
He was a friend.
Like
he would
denouncing
not.
His own grandmother, remember?
Yes, my own grandmother. He would not denounce. But when he finally did, you were fine with it. Half the country wasn't fine with it. Just like half the country isn't fine with Donald Trump saying, look, I have nothing to do with these Nazis. I don't agree with the Nazis. He waited too long. What about Barack Obama waiting so long, denouncing Jeremiah Wright? It'd be like denouncing my own grandmother. Donald Trump never said that. You know, denying the Nazis and denying Richard Spencer would be like, you know, denying my own grandfather. He never said that. Never would. Doesn't know him. But you have a double standard. Hey, let me give you a couple of other real quick. Another double standard. Let's go here. Let's go protesters at Schumer's house, please.
Senator Schumer.
Senator Schumer.
Is a politician.
Is a politician.
Okay.
And many people
what
say.
Is this? This is something the press had a problem with because people were gathering and they were taking down Charles Schumer and they were at his home protesting about immigration reform. But yet, did the press really have a problem when the same left went to the home of bankers and they were terrifying their children? Inside the house. They didn't have a problem with it.
Or Ajit Pai, the FCC commissioner, because he was talking about, you know, does not like net neutrality. They were at his house making threats to his family.
But who's to blame? Try this one. Donald Trump. Who's to blame for the death threats that Don Lemon has received?
This is what happens when the president of the United States, Donald Trump, repeatedly attacks members of the press simply for reporting facts he does not like. People take that message seriously. And if one of us is hurt or, God forbid, something else in some way or another, because you either don't understand the power of your words and or you don't care, it won't be a fake injury or, sadly, a fake death. It'll be real.
Okay, done.
And how will you answer those questions then, not only from journalists, but from our loved ones?
Okay, stop. Don Lemon and I disagree on absolutely everything, but Don is a guy that you can actually talk to, not agree with, but you can at least talk to him. So, Don, let me talk to you. Did you care when I was getting death threats all the time? Did you? Did you call out the left, or did you just call me out for the language? Did you call anyone on the left that were connected to the White House? Did you? Now, the president says fake news. Well, did you call out Obama when he mocked teabaggers, quote, teabaggers? Don, you know what that means. Nobody uses teabagger except in a disparaging way. And when you have the president walking around the stage saying those teabaggers and pretending he's holding up teabags, did you call him out for that kind of rhetoric? No. Now, that one's not exactly apples to apples, but it's in the neighborhood. And with everything else, you can kind of see why half the country doesn't listen. You can see why half the country says, he's my guy. And until you see the duplicity, we're not going to be able to make progress. Good news is, I don't think we need the media that much. I really don't. We're connecting with each other, and there's a ton of people that are tired of it. Let me tell you about Liberty Safe. Right now, you can buy a Liberty Safe at a great price and receive 12 months interest-free payments with zero down and zero APR. Now, they even offer Liberty Safes for as low as $20 a month. $20 a month in 8 years. I've been doing this longer than 8 years, haven't I? 10, 12 years with Liberty Safe? Liberty Safe had, I don't know how many employees when I first started with them. They are now, the number one builder of safes here in America. It's a huge operation, and their safes are built here in America, and they're great. Now with 12 months interest-free payments and as low as $20 a month on approved credit, go to libertysafe.com now, the home of the best-built safes on the planet. See their specials that I've never seen before. It's libertysafe.com. That's libertysafe.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
Trust is an important thing. It's something that we do a lot more as human beings than I think most people realize. I mean, you drive down the road and there's a little yellow line between a car coming at you at 50 miles an hour, and you're on your side of the road and they're on their side of the road, and we just trust that they'll stay on their side of the road. Their self-interest will do it, whatever it is. We don't die most of the time when we're driving, and this is a positive thing. It's hard, though, to find people you can trust when it comes to really complicated transactions like real estate. I mean, what do you do? You know, you're talking about your biggest investment in your entire life, and you're trusting this to someone because you don't understand what any of those forms mean. I never do. No one does. You don't even, half the people don't even read them. You need someone who can walk you through a big transaction like buying or selling a home, and make sure they're people that you can trust, that have been screened, that aren't just some random person you're looking up in the phone book. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a company that Glenn actually started because he was trying to sell his house and had some issues. And basically what they do at RealEstateAgentsITrust.com, it's a network of 1,200 agents. And Glenn and his team have gone through and found the best ones in each area. And you go and you put in your address and you put in your area where you are, and you find an agent you can trust. It's your biggest investment. You need to take it seriously. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Give it a shot. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
We have so much to talk about. Donald Trump has threatened Palestinian aid if they don't sit at the table and they're not open to peace agreements with Israel. Boy, this guy is tearing it up in the Middle East. In my opinion, in a very good way. We also have to talk about Nancy Pelosi and the left and how they are telling the American people, you know, $1,000 doesn't mean anything to the American people. Wow. That's next with Bill O'Reilly.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
This year's Super Bowl going to be legendary, of course, because the Eagles are going to be crushed and Stu will cry for weeks and weeks and weeks.
No!
What? I'm just saying, I got that from Google Home. I don't know.
Alexa's all about the Eagles.
Right, so. In your house.
In everybody's
house. And by
house.
The way, Google and Alexa, they don't even know. Ask them. Alexa, who is Jesus? Google, who is Jesus? They really are having a hard time defining who Jesus was and God. I don't understand the question.
There's an easy definition to that, Google, which is Jesus and God are the people that are going to help the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, whatever. All right. Philadelphia Eagles somehow or another have managed to have a fantastic season, make the championship game, but it will be their last Super Bowl ever that they go to. And I only say this as somebody who doesn't care at all. I just know how much it hurts, Stu, to hear.
Why do you hurt me?
Here's why this is going to be probably one of the last great Super Bowls, if it is great at all, is three words: Social Justice Committee. National Football League has officially established an owner-player social justice committee to create a dialogue to address the issues of race relations. If it's inward-focused, fine, whatever, I don't care. If you start preaching that to the rest of the country, last Super Bowl. The committee is going to focus on education, economic development, community and police relations, and the criminal justice system. All great goals. They've started a program called Let's Listen Together, another great goal. It's going to use social media to highlight NFL players working on equality issues off the field. Could be good. Usually is a disaster. I don't even care about football, and this makes me want to throw up. And we have to thank Colin Kaepernick for the disgusting mix of politics and now sports or anything else we enjoy. We cannot have 2 seconds to ourselves. You're on the bathroom. You're in the toilet. It's your office. There's nothing going on. Yep. Somebody will bring up that's where Donald Trump tweets. I mean, there's nothing not connected to politics now. I just don't see how the NFL is going to survive this way. There is zero justifiable reason for them to have a social justice committee. Zero. Except political correctness. Everybody in the NFL should be there to work on one thing, and that is football. You're there to play football. When you stop playing good football, you should be fired. When you're playing great football, you should get a raise. If players want to promote social justice outside of their day jobs, that's fine. Cool. I'm fine with it. It's your decision. But don't make it something that the entire league has to do and preach. And frankly, I think the NFL, does a great job of bringing people of all backgrounds together. Do you remember watching football and feeling like, even me, like this is America. This is all of us for this one moment coming together. There's nothing that we still come together en masse like the Super Bowl, and they're destroying it. Every fan is equal. Every fan is united when they're on the bleachers. NFL, just remember that. Keep doing that, and you'll be a huge force for good in America.
It's Friday, January 26th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We have the one and the only, the legend, Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Mr. O'Reilly. How are you, sir?
I think you and Stu should form a social justice committee off the Glenn Beck Program.
Well,
I know you guys, when you're talking to me, I know you're kneeling.
Taking a knee in protest of Bill O'Reilly.
So Bill, let's talk a little bit. First of all, your thoughts on the NFL that we just talked about.
Well, I play college football, and I'm a football fan, unlike you, Beck, who just doesn't even know a first down from a pretzel.
I do, because food is involved.
Oh, that's correct. That's right. Anyway, I, from the very beginning, have said, look, you work for somebody, you, the players. You're alienating people paying money to see you because they don't want the flag and the anthem disrespected. Certainly there are other forums that you can use to get your point across, whatever it may be. So, you know, anybody working, this is with the crux of the matter, any working American knows they can't walk into their company or their business with an armband on that may offend half the customers in the store.
I think if you're talking about the same armband, I think it would be more than half of the customers.
Well, you could have an armband that says, I like Glenn Beck, and people would run to the exits.
All right. Okay. All right. Sure.
So everybody knows that, and they're saying, well, look, if I can't do it, and why are these people offending me when I'm sitting here in 12-degree weather paying $500 for my ticket and $30 for my beer? So it's really a matter of decorum and appropriate venue. I don't want to use big words for stew, but that's what it's a. That's really what it's about.
Venue's only five letters. What do you mean a big word?
Okay, so Bill, let's switch gears. The president, the New York Times said that the president considered firing Robert Mueller last June. And was talked out of it by his staff. He was quite adamant, according to the report. His staff said, Mr. President, you can't do that, and if you do, we'll quit. And he decided not to do that. So, a couple of questions. Is Fox News has now verified this. So you have more than just the New York Times saying it. You do have Fox News saying it. The question is, do you believe it? And more importantly, does it matter?
I'm shocked there is gambling going on in this establishment. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Every human being on earth knows that Donald Trump is furious about this allegation of Russian collusion. Everyone knows that. And people like me who've known the man for 30 years well understand that the president gets in dark moods. When he gets into dark moods, he lashes out. So this story I'm reading, I'm going, what is surprising about this?
Well,
nothing.
Okay, so I agree with you so far.
Now you're following me. Right. I like it.
It is in his character to do that.
Of course.
And it's usually not in his character not to follow through. So it shows growth there.
Not so fast. This was reported back last summer, and his whole staff looked at him. You know, he came in and said, I read that Mueller. He's a pain. You know, look at him. He quit my golf club because my fees were too high. He's got to go. And they're looking at him and going, do you have any blanket idea what's going to happen to you and this administration if you fire Robert Mueller?
Sure.
You can't do it. And so then what happens is that Trump goes, I'm going to do it anyway. And then a half hour later, they're on to something else and Trump forgets about it.
So that's
who the man is.
Right. And there's
who he is. That's how he's conducted his life. So I read the story and I go, yeah, it's true. And I'll tell you where it came from. It came from Steve Bannon. All right. Because Steve Bannon doesn't like Trump, got fired, not doing well, and he's going to feed the New York Times and everybody else who hates Trump all kinds of stuff. But the timing of it is perfect. As I write on BillO'Reilly.com today, and I want everybody to go there and read my message of the day, the timing of it was to divert attention away from the unbelievable FBI situation.
Okay, wait. Before we get into that, I have to wrap this up. There's two things here that in this New York Times story that I do not find surprising. I was not shocked that Donald Trump went in and said, I want to fire this guy. And
nobody was surprised.
Nobody's surprised.
Claude Rains, who's been dead for 40 years, was not surprised.
Okay, so here's the other revelation in this that, again, is not surprising to me, that the White House doesn't tell the truth all the time.
What White House ever tells the truth?
I'm just thinking.
If stuff is going to make you look bad, I go, I didn't do it. Look, it's just a matter of parsing words. You know, did you actually say the word fire? No, I never said that word. Well, they will deny it. You know, come on. Everybody knows politicians, you know, what they do and all of that. But I think the story is essentially correct. but it's not an important story. It'll be gone by Monday. But it was dropped to take attention away from the FBI story.
Okay. If you listen to the mainstream press, which I don't, but I get updates on it. If you listen to the mainstream press, they are obsessed with the FBI investigation, and they are also obsessed by pointing out that people like you and me are saying, hang on here just a second. What is the real charge? What is really going on? Some of this could be nonsense, and I want to know what's happening inside the FBI. I want to know open this up and let the chips fall where they may. The media doesn't like that.
You got to start with John Mellencamp. A little ditty about Jack and Diane. And you change the words to a little ditty about Peter and Lisa.
Aww.
Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Two high-ranking FBI officials assigned to the Hillary Clinton email investigation and then transferred over to the Russian collusion investigation. These people were having an affair, all right, and they were texting like mad people back and forth, saying bad things about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, not so much, but, you know, a few, and everybody else. They were trashing them, all right? However, they were basically putting forth that the Hillary Clinton email investigation was over before they even investigated. They knew that they weren't going to charge Secretary Clinton with anything before she was even interviewed or anything was even written. That's huge, because Strzok was second in command in that investigation. Fast forward over to Mueller. He hires Strzok, all right? Strzok goes on in, and he's saying that Trump is an idiot, we got to get rid of him, he can't be elected, and then after he's elected, he says, we got to get do something about it. That's huge. This is enormous.
So how do you
got to think that Mueller and Comey, the FBI chief at the time, knew their investigators hated him, hated Trump, and were in the tank for Hillary. Got to assume it.
What do you say to the Republicans who say, look, even Strzok said there's no there, but what he actually said was, I don't want to be a part of this Trump investigation in a text. I don't want to be a part of this because I don't think there's any there.
Well, I don't even care about that, because the investigation should proceed. As an American, I want to know if the Russians did anything. I want to know if the Trump campaign did anything. So I don't care what Peter
right.
Strzok thinks.
But doesn't Peter Strzok saying, I don't think there's any there, show that he's not like, I know that, but it does show that he's not like, yes, give me any opportunity to destroy this guy.
No, there, but it does indicate that this whole thing is a fabrication. All right. So he's not saying I want Trump to get a pass on it or Trump is innocent.
Correct.
He's not saying that. He's just saying, I don't really want to get involved with this because, you know, there's nothing really for me to do. Because it didn't happen. But he made it clear in his texts, which Beck disappeared on Monday, but on Tuesday, we found him.
I know.
We found him.
I know.
Yay!
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. We continue in a minute. Fresh new year has begun. You're setting new goals for your business. You got to have the right people around you, and ZipRecruiter has transformed the way you go finding these people. ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 of the world's leading job sites with just a single click. Okay, that saves you time. That is a hassle, especially if you don't have an HR department or anything else, and you're just, you know, I got to find somebody today. That's good. That's helpful. But here's what sets ZipRecruiter apart. They go out and they actively look for the most qualified candidates that are out searching for a job and then says, hey, have you seen this? You should apply. The other sites don't do this. That's why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. This is also why Fortune 100 companies and little companies like mine use ZipRecruiter. the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, you can post your jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. They are so confident that this is going to change the way you hire people. It's free. Try it now. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
The president is surrounded by his foes in Davos this week. It's just humorous to have people be talking about secret societies and then have the president meeting with the people in Davos at the same time. How's he doing in Davos, Bill?
You know, it's a dog and pony show. It's the one real big thing President Trump has going for him is the economy. And so he's taking a victory lap over there saying, look, you know, we're back. America's an economic force. You guys should buy into it, invest in the USA. My tax reform has stimulated economies. You should do the same thing. So, you know, this is something that helps him and the people who want to make money in the world. They're on his side. And the good thing about Switzerland for Trump is that the Swiss, have you been to Switzerland, Beck?
No, I don't get to the, the bunny slopes in Switzerland.
You don't yodel?
No, I'm not Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, I know. I've been to every canton in Switzerland. Protesters can't get near you. Number one, the Swiss don't abide that. And number two, it's just very, very hard to get anywhere because there's mountain roads that can be easily policed. So Trump's going to have to deal with all the insane people he's going to have to deal with when he goes to London. So for Trump, you know, it's a good exercise, and he's promoting in the American economy, which is good right now.
Right, but he's not really. It's not the people of the streets that would be concerning for him. He's there with all the the big business and the globalists and everything else who probably don't agree with him and many of the American
wearing
people.
Lederhosen. No.
Yes.
He's not in the cafe.
Correct.
Yodeling with the folks. No.
Correct. Tell me, do you believe that Donald Trump is going to testify under oath?
It would be foolish for him to do that. So I don't believe he will do it. And here's why. Trump and his lawyers don't know what Robert Mueller has. They don't know. Okay? And human beings have imperfect memories. So Mueller has accusations. You got to figure that he has accusations. Now, has he been able to prove the accusations? I don't know. You don't know. Trump doesn't know. So when he goes in for an interview, Mueller could drop anything on him. Anything. On May 3rd, did you do this? Did you do this? Now, you figure his lawyers will go, come on. I mean, we can't remember. We got to go look or this and that. But there's too much that is unknown for any human being, not just Donald Trump, to go in, talk to a special counsel who's been investigating for a year, who may have emails and texts, and you don't know what he has. So the logical way to do it is in writing form. Submit your questions. We'll go over the questions, and we'll, under oath in an affidavit, answer them.
They didn't.
You can research your own. You don't have to get, in a trap or anything like that.
Well, Ken Starr didn't allow that for Bill Clinton. And while it didn't take Bill Clinton down, it did lead to impeachment hearings because
sure,
of.
But I think Mueller would allow that here. It's a different situation. So
in what way? In what way?
Bill Clinton was accused personally. Donald Trump has not been. That's what makes the difference of it. So Donald Trump says, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't collude. And nobody's saying he did. Right now, it looks like, and there's a lot of leaks coming out of the Mueller thing, which disturbs me as an American, that they're going for an obstruction of justice that Trump didn't want an investigation, so therefore he fired Comey or whatever. It doesn't look like there's anything. So that's the difference, whereas Clinton...
He was the only one that really knew.
Yeah, and it was the charges were personal against him.
Okay. Back in just a second with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We're with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com and his book, Killing England, bestseller in the country. And Bill, welcome. The president has been battling with the Democrats, obviously, over DACA. The Democrats want a path now to citizenship and the eventual right to vote. President Trump said yesterday, quote, he is not adverse to that possibility as long as he gets the border wall and other conditions met. Now, this is something that I think that's how most Americans feel. That's the way I have felt. It's certainly not the position that, you know, talk radio took or the conservatives took. And I think that's mainly because, you know, when John McCain said it, we didn't believe him. When Rubio said it, we didn't believe him because of the Gang of Eight. We thought the Democrats are just going to say that and then not do it. What does Donald Trump have to do to make sure that we get security first and then DACA?
Well, first of all, you know, in the break when the music comes back, you know, and, and you start to talk again.
Yes.
I feel like I'm in a spa.
That's good. It'd be a little, are you relaxed?
So relaxed.
Yeah, good.
I'm glad you brought this up, Bill, because I think America has noticed you seem to be a tad fired up today. Maybe a little relaxation would be a good maneuver.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, right now after that music, well, let me get back into fighting mode.
I'm gonna, you talk. I'm going to put some more water on the rocks.
Yeah. And, you know, I just lit some incense as well. Right. Okay. So the DACA thing is, it's going to happen, I believe, because it should happen. And there are fringe players on the left and the right that always are problems. You know, and I'm talking to your audience now directly. Don't be fringe. You know, just step back. This is a country that should promote compassion, America. Yes, we have the biggest military. We protect people. We're tough guys when we have to be. But, you know, the heart and the essence, if you read Killing England and you look at George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, be compassionate. So you get kids who are dragged here by their parents, and they're here for two decades. And they've been educated and they have a good job and they're good citizens and you want to toss them? No. So that's where you start. We'll find a way so they can stay here. But in order to do that, you have to prevent this situation from ever happening again. So therefore, you have to build somewhat of a wall. And you have to have a system whereby there's no chain migration. That means that if you're allowed to come to the United States, you can't bring 40 people with you to party. Okay? You can bring, you know, your spouse and your mom and your dad. Okay, but that's it. So there has to be a logic and a fairness brought to the situation. And I think it's going to happen, but you're dealing with people who really don't care about other people. I'm talking about the politicians. There's party apparatchiks.
Okay, so let's go back to the original question. You know, I had Duncan Hunter on senior. This when I was at CNN, and it was a hysterical conversation because Duncan was trying to convince me, who I had a lot of respect for, and actually did get the wall built in San Diego, which makes a difference.
Yes.
He said to me, no, Glenn, we just passed the legislation. And he said over and over again, it says in the legislation that the government shall build. So that means they have to or they break the law. And I said, Duncan, they don't care.
No,
he said, no, it's in writing now. It shall be. It's passed by Congress, signed by the president, yada, 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 yada. We still don't have a wall.
Will.
So what is that? What is it that will that the president needs to do and demand to make sure that that wall is actually done?
Well, he's got the fund. He wants the money. As soon as he gets the money, then he orders it built. So it's pretty simple. But he's got to lay it out to the American people that A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D in a very, very clear way. So that, you know, we're fair, we're compassionate, but we're going to protect ourselves because we can't have this chaos go on and on and on and on. You know, look, it's a matter of selling it. And, you know, can Trump do it? I don't know. But I could. You could. Stu even could. So you got to sell it. But we go back to the compassionate country. I think we this is what we should be.
I don't think people, I really don't think, except for a very small handful of people, I don't think people have a problem with this if the border is secure. I just
and
don't.
And the chain migration stops.
Yes, yes.
All right?
All right.
So that you tighten it up.
Okay. Do you remember when Barack Obama did a stimulus package, an infrastructure bill that was almost $1 trillion, and all of us went bananas? $1 trillion on infrastructure, and he was going to build roads and bridges, and it was going to be great, and yada, yada, yada. Donald Trump has proposed this week as much as 1.7. So $1 trillion more than that stimulus package from Barack Obama. $1 trillion more for roads, bridges, and infrastructure. Thoughts?
What happened to the Obama infrastructure improvements? Did you see them?
Well, I
saw
used
a lot
to,
of signs.
I saw a lot of signs, yes.
I live in New York City, and the whole place is falling apart.
Right. Right.
Okay. I mean, the roads, the bridges, everything is right now. They built the Tappan Zee Bridge, a new one. They got some federal funds. But look, you know, this is what these people always do. We're going to spend another $1.7 trillion, and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, 10 years later, you're going, well, where is that? So, I mean, that's when it gets really murky. But, yeah, Trump's going to do the infrastructure deal, and we'll probably have a superhighway from the Mexican wall right up to Minneapolis.
That's called, what was that called? The Trans-American Corridor, something like that?
No, it's going to be called the You Better Not Come Here Highway.
I feel like we went through a last year, Bill, with Trump doing a lot of policy things that I really liked, a lot of the things that he agreed with me on, he acted on taxes and a lot of his executive policies. He seems to be starting this year, though, with a lot of the opposite, because he things like tariffs and things like, you know, infrastructure packages. I mean, this thing he did with washing machines, where he put a tariff on washing machines, that's going to cost American people, American workers money out of their own pockets.
But he doesn't care about the washing machines or the solar panels. I mean, then nobody cares about it. The big thing that he wants to do is create these jobs that would build the roads and the bridges and, you know, make the salaries go up for all the construction people. That's what he's really trying
to
do
here.
Right,
but he does believe in tariffs. I mean, the one thing that he was very, very strong on during the campaign and has been consistent his entire life is tariffs.
He does believe in that. He wants to use that as a cudgel, word of the day, cudgel, to get better trade agreements with the offending parties. So he goes, we're going to slap this on you unless you give us a better deal. That's how he's always negotiated. That's how he buys his golf courses. So that's what he does. He wants better trade deals, and he uses the tariffs as a threat.
But these tariffs, and he put these on washing machines and solar panels, are just a redistribution of wealth. What we're doing is we're charging people who are buying washing machines an extra $50, $100, and then we are rerouting that money to someone who supposedly works in an American factory. And we've seen the results when these things are tried. It's something like $900,000 per job, which is just not justifiable to me. I don't understand why he's pursuing these policies.
I hate to say this, Stu, but you're much smarter than I am on this issue, so I just can't.
It's a rare moment. We're going to put this.
I mean, for me, a washing machine, I throw the socks in, I walk away.
This is a moment that has to go into the Museum of Radio History. Humility from Bill O'Reilly. Bill, let me flip the script on this, going from something that he's doing that, you know, I don't agree with, to Jerusalem and the embassy. Stunning that Mike Pence said, we're going to be in there soon, at least in a temporary embassy. And then he came out and said, by the way, no more aid to Palestine if the Palestinians are not willing to sit down and seriously consider peace with Israel.
Well, that's good, right?
It's unbelievable.
And why should we be sending all this money to the Palestinians and the Pakistanis, other countries, when they turn around and they hurt us?
Yeah.
So, you know, look, Trump fashions himself as a tough guy. And, you know, he creates these scenarios. I mean, for most Americans, they don't care whether the embassy is in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. They don't care. But again, there's a method to his madness. He's basically sending a signal that we want cooperation. And if we don't get it, you're not getting any money. And, you know, I think the Jerusalem thing is a good deal. So I'm going to do it. And that's it. I mean, he doesn't really care what other people think, unlike President Obama, for example. I mean, who cared tremendously about what they thought in Bangladesh about what he did. You know,
or quite honestly,
know where Bangladesh is.
Quite honestly, or like people like George W. Bush, who claimed to care about those things, but the policies didn't match. I mean,
yeah, but he was, you know, right. I'll agree with that, but Bush had so much on his plate with the terrorism and the chaos. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I get it, but I mean, I'm trying to throw Donald Trump a pretty massive compliment here, that when it comes to many things, but the Middle East in particular, he has wiped out ISIS in under a year. He has moved the embassy, which will be in under 18 months. And he is starting to be tough on the Palestinians and saying, look, you want peace, we'll do peace. If not, we're not funding you because
you're not getting any money.
You don't get any money. That's remarkable.
Can I ask you an interesting question?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Yeah.
So Trump goes over to Davos and he meets with the British Prime Minister, Netanyahu, the head of the Swiss Federation, and the president of Rwanda. Those are the four he had private meetings with. Why did he meet with the Rwanda guy?
Can I tell you something? And you're going to, another moment of humility. I've met with the president of Rwanda.
Well, that's why Trump did it.
Listen. If there is somebody in the world today that can teach the world what it needs to know, it is the president of Rwanda.
But why do you think he did it? Other than the guy's smart and innocent, why? He did it because of the S-hole comment, to show the world that he has respect for a black African nation. That's why he did it.
It's really sad because I was hoping that there was more to it. That, but thanks for shattering that for me, Bill O'Reilly.
That's all right.
From BillO'Reilly.com. Anything special going on?
You know, we had probably our best week of analysis, and we've opened it up for everybody this weekend. If you go to BillO'Reilly.com, you'll see how I position the FBI story and the facts that we brought to bear, because you're not going to get that in the mainstream media. You're simply not going to get it. You're not going to get it on cable news. You're not going to get it in newspapers. So we really, really had a real strong week. We're ahead of the story. I think this FBI story is just going to break wide. And there's another dispatch that just came to me that says they went easy on Hillary Clinton because they feared she would win the election and they didn't want a reprisal. This is the FBI.
Right.
So I want everybody to go to BillO'Reilly.com, sign up for premium membership. It's worth your while to do it. You listen to Beck in the daytime. You go at night to BillO'Reilly.com, and you got it. You got the story of this country. So there you go.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
An interesting appearance from Bill today.
He was on his game today.
He was very fired up, I would say. Well, he was on his game, and then he also apparently does not care about washing machines. That was one thing we learned. He does not care about washing machines. So we'll remember that for next time. I'll try dryers next week.
All right. Let me talk to you a little bit about getting a good night's sleep. Sleep makes all the difference in the world. If you're not getting a good night's sleep, if you're not getting REM sleep. I went 10 years without having REM sleep. Your body does not repair itself. If you're not getting a good night's sleep, you are, there's no way you're going to have a good day. There's no way you're going to hold things together. Last year, I really started just doing absolutely anything and everything I could to change my life, to change my health. This year, that's my number one priority, is just to just get healthy and be a normal human being again.
You might be able to pull off one of those things. Either the healthy or the normal human being.
I did say health wise.
You're not reaching that high.
I'm not a dreamer. I'm not a dreamer, man. Okay, anyway, Casper Mattress has really helped me get a great night's sleep. They have, it's a foam mattress. I know. If you've ever had a foam mattress, you're like, oh, good. It's the fires of hell hot. Casper is not. What they did is they went to researchers and they came up with a breathable foam that keeps you the right temperature. I mean, you are not going to be hot. It's breathable material. Plus, the mattresses are built to last for years and they're built for your body. Casper, best night's sleep, and don't take it from me. This is the difference with Casper is they want to send it to you. They will send it to you, ship it free. You just sleep on it. Sleep on it for 100 nights. If you don't feel this way, you just call them up. They come pick it up. You don't have to ship it back to them. They'll pick it up. Try it now risk-free. Have the best night's sleep. 100 nights in your own home. Just go to Casper.com. Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck and you'll save $50. That's Casper.com. Promo code Beck. Terms and restrictions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So glad that you've tuned in. It is Friday. We're going to talk a little bit more about the news, but also some of the things that you can do this weekend. You see, Elton John is doing his last tour, 300 dates. What is he, like 1,000? 300 dates. It might be his farewell tour because he may not make it off the road.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
I want you to know we're all doomed. I mean, there's not a, there's, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. Yesterday, very disturbing bulletin came out from atomic scientists, which, you know, might sound like a secret society of weirdos, but they got together and moved the doomsday clock 30 seconds ahead. Oh, I remember as a kid, that doomsday clock and the fear it instilled in me. And of course, we all died. You know, back in the 70s when they're doing this. I mean, they've been doing the doomsday clock for a while. You know, it's 2 minutes till midnight now on the doomsday clock. And, it hasn't been 2 minutes to midnight since 1953. And you remember, right? I mean, you remember what was doomsday 1956 when the world exploded, and everybody died. And then again, they set the doomsday clock. I think it was like 3 minutes to midnight, right during the Reagan administration. It was just crazy. And you remember, we all died. But, you know, this isn't some Casio doomsday clock. This is the official doomsday clock. This is the one that should freak you out. The board of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, 15 Nobel Prize winners. And you do not win a Nobel Prize for nothing. Anyway, they have been setting the doomsday clock for a while. They've been setting this thing for 71 years. And one of the members said at a press conference today, the danger of some sort of nuclear catastrophe is greater than it was during the Cold War. And most people are blissfully unaware of this danger. Worse than the Cold War. Now, what's the alarm? Well, the failure of President Trump and other world leaders to deal with the looming threats of nuclear war. And climate change. Yeah. 10 years ago, the group said climate change is nearly as dire as the danger of nuclear weapons. But that was before Donald Trump got in. Now they are equally as dangerous. Trump and climate change. Those are the ultimate boogeymen of the left. Another doomsday spokesman said the risk of nuclear weapons being used undoubtedly increased last year, which is why they've decided to move the clock ahead 30 seconds. But they also said that the danger is worse because of humanity's inaction on climate change. It's crazy. Now, reading between the lines, I guess that means the world is getting hotter, and then it will get super, super hot. And, you know, people will be in a bad mood because it's hotter. As we know, in Chicago, when it gets hot, if there's a heat wave in Chicago, that is what causes everybody to break down. So if it gets hot like it does in Chicago, and it's a heat wave all around the world, nuclear war, and then it's 7,000 degrees, and I don't know what to do. Because I wasn't around in 1956 when it was this close to doomsday. And, of course, we had the doomsday, when everybody died back then and in the 70s. I don't remember them clearly, so I don't know what we would do. Now, I hate to sound insensitive to the doomsday crowd because nuclear weapons aren't a joke. But your argument kind of loses the punch when you put climate change as the same danger as nuclear weapons. And I know climate change. Here's one. Let's try AI. You know how they described the AI was part of moving it? And they said, but that's the vague threat of AI. AI researchers will tell you that AI has a much better chance of happening in the next 20 years than anything with climate change. And the good news, if you want to look for good news with AI, AI might give us all of the answers on how we can protect the planet. But I just want to give credit to the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. I mean, they won a Nobel Prize. And again, they just don't give those out. Not that nuclear war isn't a serious threat, but we need a separate, larger, more urgent clock that counts us down to AI, counts us down to all of the troubles, counts us down to all of us just tearing each other apart. How about that one? Maybe that's a doomsday clock that we should be watching. And, you know, not just because the guy who's in office you don't like.
It's Friday, January 26th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Now, did they move the doomsday clock when Barack Obama was turning a blind eye to the nuclear program of Iran? Did they move the doomsday clock when the entire Middle East went up in flames because of the Arab Spring, which we helped support? No, that was all fine. Nothing to worry about there. Just now, because Donald Trump, man.
Well, we're talking 0.9 degrees over a century, Glenn. That's almost a full degree, as you know.
Well, now, wait a minute. There is evidence now that we are going into another ice age.
Right, so, which is a change in climate
right. Change, yes.
Thank
so
you.
So the worst case scenario is that we've all been killed by the ice age and then warmed back up by the launch of all of the nuclear weapons.
Right. That's best case.
Yeah.
I will say.
Oh, that's the best case?
I think that's the best case.
That was worst case.
Because that kind of keeps us right around even. We'll get the ice age plus the nuclear, nuclear winter. That means it can get cold after that.
So, okay, you ready? Here's the bad thing.
Okay.
Think of this one.
Mm-hmm.
We're all like, oh my gosh, we're just grazing like the woolly mammoth, and we've got buttercups in our stomach. A flash freeze comes, but just before the flash freeze, some crazy man like Donald Trump says, oh, I'll show you a flash freeze, and he hits the button, the missiles launch, we still have frozen buttercups in our stomach. We're de-thawed, you know, with 7,000 degrees.
Yep.
Okay? And then nuclear, and we're like, woo, okay. Then nuclear winter happens, and we're frozen again, flash frozen. We still will have buttercups in our stomach, except now they'll be a little cooked. What do we do? That's bad.
No, it's a little complicated, but
it could happen.
Here's the thing, and I think what you're not factoring in is that before global warming kills us, mm-hmm. we will already be dead from net neutrality. We will already be dead from pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, and we will already be triple dead from the tax cuts.
How about the Nazis?
And the Nazis. Right. So we're quadruple dead before any of this even happens, which is one good thing.
You said tax cuts, but you notice, I just want to point out to the audience, you notice he didn't use the real words of the real threat, trickle down economics. Mm,
I should have called it a trickle down tax-mageddon. That is what I should
well,
have.
Well, can I tell you something? I would like to offer proof of that tax-mageddon.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to offer proof. First
shield,
of all,
shield your ears if you have children.
First of all, I just want to issue this warning. California is again out on the progressive edge. They believe in progress. I want you to know that California lawmakers are now considering a $1,000 fine for waiters who offer an unsolicited plastic straw. They are ahead of their time.
They are.
And if you're a waiter and you offer an unsolicited plastic straw, may God have mercy on your soul. Anyway, let's go to the tax-mageddon, because also California lawmakers are thinking about taxing, giving an extra tax to the corporations, because they say that all of that money that they're now saving through federal income tax should go to the state. But I'm having a hard time with it, because there are many people that say that tax is meaningless. All those tax savings, for instance, Stu, what's $1,000 mean to you?
I will, when I take my hand out of my pocket, largely,
yeah.
You know, $1,000 just falls to the ground. Okay. I don't even notice it. Okay. It's nothing.
Let me try this. I crap $1,000 bills, okay? That's because Woodrow Wilson, I think he was the one on the 100. Is
it's
the
$100,000 bill, right?
I crap $100,000 bills.
So what's $1,000 to you?
What's $1,000 to me if I'm crapping $100,000 bills, mm-hmm. okay?
You should change your diet, but yeah, that's okay. I agree.
So it's fiber.
It is.
It's fiber. So anyway, this is the most ridiculous thing, and let's start with Debbie Wasserman Schultz on how meaningless this trickle down economics really is. You are getting raises, bonuses. The companies are investing in their own companies, hiring more people. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Exhibit A on how out of touch they really are.
Frankly, if you look at the bonuses, I mean, which I haven't heard of a corporate bonus more than $1,000 so far, which, by the way, is a tax, so it's not $1,000. And then you spread $1,000 over the course of a year to figure out how much that is. Of course, they get it all at once, but I'm not sure that $1,000, which is taxable, goes very far for almost anyone.
All right, hang on just a second. So they're saying that you're getting $1,000, but it's taxable. I mean, the government's going to take a bunch of money.
All of a sudden, they care about tax rates.
All of a sudden, the taxes matter.
That's amazing.
It matters. You know, if you're making $50,000 a year, you know, if they take 20% of your money, if they take 15% of your money, that's an awful lot of money. I'm not sure that $50,000 really even matters. Excuse me?
Incredible.
Now, $1,000 to get $1,000 bonus, I'll take it. I don't know anybody who scoffs at $1,000 bonus. $1,000 is a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice chunk of cash. It could be gas for most of the year. It could be
birth control
for 250 months of birth.
Think of that.
Remember how much they freaked out over the $4 birth control because Sandra Fluke had to have it for free.
Yeah, and we were called haters for saying, how much is birth control?
Right. Walmart at the time was offering it. I don't know if they still are, but they were offering it for $4 a month.
$4 a month
for birth control.
That's life and death. You gotta have it. Oh my gosh, you rich people who are so out of touch. That birth control is $4 a month. Now they're saying $1,000 bonus means nothing.
What?
Hang on just a second. How much were we supposed to save on Obamacare?
Oh yeah, that was
$2,500. $2,500. Mm-hmm. So it's more than double, Stu. It's more than double this. How much did the average person actually save on Obamacare?
Negative $5,000.
Negative $5,000. But, you know, you'll never notice that.
No.
You'll never notice that. For $1,000, that's an average person's vacation.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And, you know, and there was also raises in some of those announcements. As you said, big investments, which is probably the best part of it, in which you're hiring new people and you're building a new home base in America, investing your dollars here. That's a big deal.
May I ask the Democrats a question? If $1,000 is meaningless to people, why do you hate the planet so much? Because you're only thinking of imposing a meaningless $1,000 fine on people who offer unsolicited straws.
I don't know about you. Now all I want to do is see the maximum amount of straws I can use in a day to drink my multiple diet sodas.
I'm with you.
I think maybe on Monday we should see the maximum amount of straws we can use during the show just to piss California off.
I don't know how you live in California. We have so many listeners and viewers in California. I don't know how you do it. God bless you. I mean, somebody has to do it. Just glad it isn't me. You know, it's like somebody had to live in the Eastern Bloc. Just glad it's not me. All right, we come back. There's more on how meaningless these taxes are. Nancy Pelosi has chimed in. We'll get to that in a second. First, it was trickle-down economics isn't going to work. These companies are never going to do anything. They're not going to give you the money. Once they do, that's nothing. That money means nothing. At the same time saying, we have to have that money. Those tax dollars have to come to the state of California. Simply Safe. Home security that is on the cutting edge. They have transformed from a company, when I first started working with them, of 10 people to the fastest growing home security company in the nation, protecting over 2 million homes now. 2 million homes. The reason why they're so great is they don't have any kind of contract. So you own the system. You just go to their website at simplysafebeck.com. Just scroll down. I can't remember what it's marked as, but it's just right there. It'll show you how much money you're going to save by getting away from the burglar alarm that everybody used to have with the wires and everything. It's remarkable. Of course, I mean, not if you're crapping $100,000 bills, you know, and $1,000 doesn't really mean anything to you. You're going to save hundreds and hundreds of dollars in the first year. In the first few months, you save a buttload of money. Simply Safe also has a brand new system out. It is top of the line. It is really small, so it's really invisible. And you know, they've tested it against hammers and bats. You can't shut this thing down. And it also has new safety features on it for, you know, a loss of Wi-Fi, a loss of power, et cetera, et cetera. SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there now to order. SimplySafeBeck.com. Check it out for yourself. It's freedom and security. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So let's go to Nancy Pelosi on how meaningless trickle-down economics really is when your company gives you a bonus of $1,000 or a raise. Here's Nancy Pelosi.
To really grow the economy in a way where everyone benefits.
Deeper voice than I thought.
If I may add to that, then thank you, sir. Here's the thing. There's a cartoon that I just love. Should have brought. There's a little clap, a little mouse trap. It's got a little piece of cheese on there. And there's a mouse about to take it. And that's called the middle class. Give you this little crumb, and around it are two fat cats. They look a lot like elephants, but anyway. around there, and that's the thing. get this little thing, and we get this big bonanza. You get the crumb, we get the banquet.
So you get the, so there's fat cats surrounding this little mousetrap, and they've just put a little crumb, but they're going to eat you. They get the bonanza. Is that the way you view a $1,000 bonus?
If you were to get $1,000 right now, what does that mean to you? Is it meaningless? Is it a crumb?
Can I tell you something?
Is it nothing? Is it, you know, too small to make a difference for anyone, as Debbie Wasserman Schultz said?
Can I tell you something? I have a truck here that I drive every day, and it is really bouncy because I don't put stuff in the back. You know, I drive it to and from work most of the time.
Because you're a poser, right? Because
I'm a poser.
You're in Texas, but you don't have a truck.
So anyway, it's you're really posing as if you're a Texan
when you're not, is basically what you're saying.
I didn't say I was a Texan.
You have to have one. People have to view you as if you would have a truck, though you don't use it as a truck. So therefore, you're posing as someone who actually needs a truck. And that was all just admitted to by you.
I like trucks. I have a farm where I use trucks, just not this one here. Mm-hmm. This one, when it's, you know, a few years old, will go to the farm and just get, you know, destroyed. So I have a truck. Can I move on?
You can.
All right. So it's really the suspension on it is a truck.
It's not built to be a luxury car.
Correct. So for $2,000, they said you can, you know, most people here, they just have the suspension changed, you know, and that way it rides, you know, a little softer. I turned down the suspension because it's $2,000 to make my ride a little smoother. I can handle it. $2,000.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
For really anybody. I mean, you know,
yes.
you can go on a great, you know, you can go on a vacation. You can, I mean, we were just talking about the washing machines. I think it was last hour. I mean, you know, that's a washing machine, right? It's a big deal. $1,000 is a lot of money.
A really big deal.
Yeah. It's a Christmas, at least, you know, for your kids. If you have a bunch of kids, it's the whole Christmas. It's a big deal.
Not to Democrats.
No, apparently not.
They think it's a crumb. They think it's a scam. And especially after the government takes taxes out of that bonus. That's their freaking quote.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I'm going to venture into very dangerous territory.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to mention the word sports and football. Okay?
You probably shouldn't.
I know. I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
The XFL. They're talking about bringing the XFL back. I am not clearly not a sports fan, know nothing about it. However, in following what the NFL has been doing, and their new announcement of, you know, social justice Sundays, where they're going to start preaching social justice, if they do that, if they continue down this road, and, you know, if it's a social justice and it's a thing that the players do on their own and whatever, and, you know, they're not preaching it, that's fine. But if they start to become preachy, it will be time, not now, but probably in a couple of years, it will be time to challenge the NFL.
And the launch target is 2020. So it'd be a couple of years down the road.
It seems to me, everybody I know scoffs at the XFL.
Yeah, because they were such a miserable failure in the 80s. Just awful.
But look at the health of the NFL at the time. They didn't have any real weakness. Now, you know, I always thought football is so American, it's so uniting, and it's so great. You now, because of the decisions the NFL has made, they're just becoming this political crap. Just play football. Just be a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they continue down this road, they may stop, but if they continue down this road, 2020 might be a good time to slowly get back in and say, you know what? We are America's pastime.
And
we're America's sport.
McMahon is making a big deal out of the fact that there would be no kneeling. There's none of that nonsense. They're not doing the social justice thing in this league. So.
And you know what? If he goes as far as saying, we're not doing any politics, we're not going to do, you know, we're not going to be the WWE, and we're also not going to do any politics. We're just going to be great football.
Yeah, it's interesting because he kind of said that. He said, basically, if you want to make a political statement, you just make it on your own time. We're not stopping people from free speech. We're just not doing it during our league. And that's totally
what
legitimate.
We all believe the NFL should have done.
Yep. I mean, yep. It would be fine with me. You know, so if you remember the XFL's initial push years ago, it had a lot of money behind it. It had an NBC television contract. It was a real attempt that just failed.
It wasn't time. Yeah.
This, to me, I disagree with that analysis because, I mean, it was a time where people were really hungry for football. It was coming in. It was happening in off season where there is no football. I mean, it wasn't going to compete with the NFL and take it down. But was there a position for it at that time if they did it right? Maybe.
Well, do you remember that the reason they say a lot of people blame the failure of the XFL is Donald Trump, because he insisted on moving the season directly against the NFL.
We're talking, that was USFL.
Oh, that was USFL. Right. That's so, right.
Yeah, that's right. The USFL.
Why do you hate Donald Trump so much?
There is an interesting conspiracy theory that I'm surprised the media has not tapped into a little bit more, which is interesting in that Trump, really one of his first business failures was his USFL team and his attempt to change the season of the USFL. And since then, he's pretty much hated the NFL. It's been one of those things that has eaten at him for a long time. Multiple biographers talk about this. And, you know, look, it's not a bad thing about the president. He likes sports, but he hates the fact that he lost that battle. Mm-hmm. They won the lawsuit. The league won $1 and they had to fold the next day. So it was one of his first failures. Since now he's president, he's got the bully pulpit. He talks about the NFL. He bashes it all the time. He says that it's over. Now one of his political allies is launching a team or a league to go against the NFL.
You know what this is? We never went to the moon.
I disagree. I mean, I think more than that, and more than a big time conspiracy, I think it's real that since the time of the USFL, Trump has been annoyed at the NFL, and he loves the fact.
Just take these one at a time. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, right?
I believe it.
And I think he likes that fight. He likes the fact that good politics for him includes taking down the NFL.
Separate and apart from your theory, I agree.
Vince McMahon, a political ally of Donald Trump, believes, I think, the same way that Trump does, that the NFL is annoying, and what they're doing with social justice type issues is irritating.
Separate and apart from your theory, I agree.
And he sees it as a real business opportunity. I don't think he sees it as a real business opportunity right now, but I think you're right in that he says, we'll say we're launching this in 2020.
Let's see what happens.
Infrastructure steps, basic steps, without investing a lot of money. And if this thing really does start collapsing in the next couple of years,
we'll be there.
We'll be there to try to take a big piece of that pie.
So I think this is a good capitalist capitalizing on what might be coming in the future. And there's no, you know, the conspiracy theory, just to say that includes then, all right, Jim, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be elected president. I'm going to get
I'm going to get those guys. Kind of conspiracy theory. I don't think it's actually is it possible though? Do you give me this? Is it possible? Right? Now, Linda McMahon, did she get a gig as an ambassador or whatever? She was talked about. I don't remember what she actually wound up getting, but you know, this family is very tight in with Trump, and that's well known. Is it possible they're hanging around having a dinner and saying, and Trump has said, you know what? You should start the XFL up again.
Yes.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm sick of these guys kneeling. We both agree on this. You should start that thing up again. We'll get lots of attention.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Would you be surprised at all in the next few months when something happens that Trump tweets about, I can't wait for the XFL to start?
No.
Would you be at all surprised about that? And none of this is bad, by the way.
Yeah, none of it is bad, illegal, shady, anything.
Not at all. It's just an interesting observation about him. And, you know, I think that there is a legitimate chunk of the public that thinks there's something there, but there's not something there unless a lot more happens. I mean, remember, like the top 20 shows on television this year where the NFL is so totally failing are going to be NFL programs. I mean, it's like it is still so dominates the landscape of the United States of America and its media, and the amount of money that flows through this. I think their revenues were down 2%. I mean, this is not their ratings were down less than the rest of network television in this time period. Let's not talk about it too much as a disaster.
Can I change the subject? Why does America hate the Patriots so much, Pat?
That bothers me. I'm starting to wonder, when did we Is this a factor of Barack Obama when you just don't like people who succeed all the time? When do we start hating winners like that?
Oh, when they cheat. That's the time we started hating.
We haven't cheated this year that we know of.
Right.
It's true.
All year. I think, personally, this is nothing new that America, you know, you say, when do they hate winners? We have always loved the underdog story.
Yes.
And then we love them when they win. But then when they start to dominate, then you start to root for the underdog again. So it's not that you hate the winner. You much rather the underdog, that scrappy guy who goes in and gets it. That is the American story.
I think in the case of the Patriots, they do hate the successful team and person. They seem to have, there seems to be a real animus toward Tom Brady.
What's the difference?
Because
between
they're
that?
Tired of seeing him all the time.
What's the difference between that and the Yankees? How many people do you know that they hate the Yankees because the Yankees, they go out and, I'm sorry guys for being so far out on a limb.
No, you're doing pretty good so far.
But they hate the Yankees because the Yankees keep winning. They keep winning and taking that money and piling it in.
Fortunately, the Yankees haven't had that problem in a while.
Yeah, well, like it's Cyan Stanton in this offseason, and again, an unlimited amount of money. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're known as the big bad.
Right. Yeah. And the big bad machine that is just crushing everybody because they have the money because they keep winning.
And that's part of my reason for not liking the Patriots, honestly. Like, you want a different storyline. You don't want the same team to win over and over and over again.
Talk to Tanya and her family. She would disagree with you.
I mean, I want the Eagles to win every year. Yeah. But I would understand that people would hate the Eagles if they did win every year, which, by the way, they haven't. I would like to point that out. Hopefully that changes in just a week. But
they're not I mean, a lot of people are putting them in an underdog situation at this time. They're really not. They're just more pathetic than an underdog. Don't you think, Pat?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I hate you.
Something to be paid.
If you look at that team, though, you've got the Brady thing is a situation where you just hate this guy. Here's this guy who's won, you know, 5 Super Bowls.
Supermodel.
He's the best quarterback of all time.
Yep.
Right? The greatest quarterback of all time. And he's married to a supermodel. Mm-hmm. You know, plus.
And he's heading into his 8th Super Bowl.
He's been in the Super Bowl for half of the years he's been in the league.
It's astounding.
I love that.
I want him to win it again because of that. Greatness on a level that
it is.
Almost never seen.
I have to tell you, the thing that, I apologize to the audience for inflicting all of this on you from me, but I love his story until the cheating.
Yep.
Then you're like, okay, dude, come on. Yeah. You got everything.
Mm-hmm. And Belichick as well is the same thing. And again, like you look at like, did America hate Michael Jordan? No. Jordan has always been that guy. He was great, you know, as great as Tom Brady in a different sport, and people didn't feel that way about him. People didn't feel that way about, you know, people feel differently about LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Why? Well, you know, people have personalities and
although
they do
there's
things.
There's some irrational hatred for LeBron, too.
It's not irrational, but yes, it does exist.
and it exists right there in the person of Stuber Gear.
This is part of what you like about sports, though. You know, the fact that you don't want a team to win many times as an Eagles fan, because they're not in this game, you have to find some reason to be interested in it. And disliking a team is just as interesting at times as liking a team.
I don't know if you guys know this. The problem with politics is we've turned it into team sports.
Right. And it's okay in team sports. It's not okay in politics.
Correct. Correct.
It's not. Can I give you one more little sports tidbit while we're here? A very interesting maneuver in the media today in the world of sports. If you remember our friend Ed Schultz, do you remember this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Rotund sort of, you know, guy. Was
Let's up. Not... push on people who might be a little Rubenesque.
I wasn't talking. I wasn't making a Glenn Beck reference here. I was just saying.
I didn't
that
say
was coming, though. It
my
was
gosh,
coming.
That was hurt. That was hurtful, yeah, wasn't it?
It was.
I didn't even think of me.
Did you just think rotund was your nickname? That's a word. So you know. The rotund Ed Schultz was at one time promoted to weekends. He was a full-time primetime host. Mm-hmm.
And then he went through a promotion.
He was very excited about his weekend.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. I'm very excited. This is a big deal, a big promotion. And he got they threw him on weekends. And we made fun of him for years about him bragging about his promotion to weekends.
Right. Has he been promoted again?
No, this is not Ed Schultz related, but I wanted to set the table here.
All right, okay.
Jemele Hill, the Sports Center anchor, who was very outspoken about how much of a racist Donald Trump was, ESPN has just promoted her to their website. No longer will she be hosting.
Congratulations, Jemele.
She will not be hosting SportsCenter anymore.
She won't be on anymore. Oh, really?
She will now
Can
be...
I tell you something? As a non-sports fan, SportsCenter? Never heard of it.
Oh, no. Not a big deal at all.
When I've heard of a show called SportsCenter.
And to go even further, it wasn't just SportsCenter. Because SportsCenter used to be a thing where you show highlights and then it's that's it, right? This is... the Sports Center program they built around her and one other guy.
Yeah.
A personality-based
Sports
Center. But
now she's going to have the time to build all of that herself.
Right. She'll have tons of free time.
Tons of free time.
So she's psyched about this promotion?
Yeah. Huge promotion. Yeah. In fact, they were saying her choice. What she wanted to do the whole time was leave ESPN's Sports Center based around her personality and go right on the web a little. That's all.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock. Just is it still January? Why did last year go by so fast and January is just, is it still January? Last year, right around Christmas time, two researchers, two guys who were just like, hey, you know what? Let's see if we can hack into, can we find back doors into computers and into chips? Well, they found out that almost every chip used in nearly every PC server, smartphone, and tablet in the last 10 days, if it says Intel, you can get inside. And this was stunning. Now, they've put some patches up, but until that chip is replaced, you, your phone, your computer, your memory, all that memory storage is at risk. One in four people have experienced identity theft, and that number is going up. And your information can be taken, sold on the dark web. You can get an online payday loan in your name. People can live their life here in America posing as your child, and you won't know about it until your child gets their first paycheck. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity thefts. And if you have a problem, somebody here in the U.S. is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock uncovers those threats that everybody else seems to miss. So right now, get 10% off with the promo code BECK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK. Or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BECK. You're going to save 10% right now using the promo code BECK. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
12 strong out this weekend?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, really, really good. Saw it last weekend, and it's really good.
Story of the first people who went in after 9/11 in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and you'll love it. Mm-hmm. You'll love it. Anything else? What else is out? I want to see I, Tonya.
I really want to see that because it just looks really well done. I mean, I love those stories.
She's just
so dark, you know. It really is.
Have you seen the interviews with her?
With actual Tonya Harding or Margot Robbie?
No, Tonya Harding.
No, I haven't seen.
Yeah, not doing well.
No.
Yeah, and she's insisting that we don't talk about the past and that incident.
What the hell? That's your.
What
whole...
do I want to talk to you about?
I know.
Oh, so. What you been doing? What are you got nothing. You got nothing. No one's interested in anything but that, Tonya. No, nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty much our level of interest. It ends right around there.
Have a safe weekend. We'll see you Monday. God bless.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.